Hi there. A few years back, when people would get caught in some sin, they would plead that the devil made me do it. They'd say the devil made me do it. But is that so? Did the devil make them do it? Or does the Bible teach otherwise? I'm James Warden, and this is Have You Heard the Good News? Many people, after having been caught in some sin or some faux pas, exclaim that the devil made me do it. The devil made me do it. Is this true? Did the devil make them do it? Take this scenario. Imagine, just imagine, if God would take Satan and all of his demonic influences from the earth. Again, just imagine if God would take Satan and all of his demonic influences from the earth, would there still be adultery, murder, theft, and other such things which are blazed across our newspapers if God would banish Satan and his demons from the earth? Yes, they would still be featured as headline news because Satan is not responsible for these things. I repeat, if Satan and all of his demonic influences were banished from the earth, there would still be rape, molestation, murder, theft, and such like. All of these things will continue without disturbance in the world. Now, I imagine that most churches teach that Satan and his demons are the cause of these things. And if he was out of the picture, then these things would cease. Not so. Not so. Because if you would study, and I do mean study, your Bible a little closer, then you will also find out that this is not so. The story's been told of a Christian who was late to church one Sunday, and as he was climbing the steps, lo and behold, there sat Satan, and he was crying. So the Christian asked him, "Hey Satan, why are you crying?" And Satan said, "Because they're in that church lying on me, saying that I caused men to cheat on their wives, and that I caused a woman to steal something from where she worked, and that I caused people to get into drugs and booze." Now, don't get me wrong. I'm glad that they're all caught up in these such things because it deteriorates their relationship with others and assaults their good conscience toward God. But what I'm upset about is that they are saying that the devil made them do it, and I did no such thing. I'm not omnipresent. I didn't even know when they did those things. And they're in there blaming me for it. Boo-hoo-hoo. And that's just about how it is. People are blaming Satan and promoting all kind of religious literature about Satan, getting people into drugs and perverse sexual strongholds and such things. They are accusing the accuser of tempting them into such things because they have not studied the Word enough to know that there is a great difference between the works of Satan and the works of the flesh. Again, they cannot differentiate the difference between the works of Satan and the works of the flesh. And it is important to study the Word so you can know the difference between the works of Satan and the works of the flesh. Otherwise, you'll be rebuking demons of lust and demons of adultery and demons of fornication and demons of nicotine, and there are no such demons. You must be able to distinguish what are the works of the flesh and the works of Satan so you can skillfully use the Word of God to handle these things. Jesus said that Satan comes to do three things. These are the works of Satan: to steal, kill, and destroy. And concerning you, the believer, Satan wants to steal the word that has been sown into your heart. He wants to destroy your faith in God, that you are now his son because you believed in Jesus. And last but not least, he wants to kill you. Satan wants you out of this world, not because you live right and do good deeds, because his ministers live right and do good deeds, but he wants you out of this world because you hold the key to eternal life in the power of your tongue, which is to testify to sinners that if they believe on the Lord Jesus Christ's death, burial, and resurrection for their forgiveness of their sins, then they should not perish but have everlasting life. Satan has these three works to execute on sinners. He wants to steal their worship, he wants to destroy their faith in the plan of salvation, and he wants to kill them. Because if they die in a state of unbelief, regardless if they have lived a life as holy as Jesus in this world, they will go straight to hell. Because salvation is not by behavior, salvation is by accepting Jesus Christ as your Savior. When Satan approached Jesus on the Mount of Temptation, he had three things on his mind: to steal, to kill, and to destroy. He wanted to steal God's worship, so he asked Jesus Christ to fall down and worship him. But Jesus rebuked him by giving him scripture. Then he wanted Jesus Christ to throw himself off the mountain and kill himself. And Jesus again recounted the scriptures unto him. And last but not least, he wanted to get Jesus Christ to doubt that he really was the Son of God by asking him, "If thou be the Son of God, perform such and such." And Jesus Christ resisted Satan by standing upon the Word of God and quoting the scriptures. So there you have it. Satan has three deliberate works he wants to perpetrate on you. He wants to steal the word out of your heart. He wants to kill you for your testimony's sake of Jesus Christ. And he wants to destroy your faith toward God, that he's accepted you as his son. Now, by knowing the works of Satan, it will be easy for you to distinguish the works of Satan from the works of the flesh. For the works of the flesh are listed in Galatians chapter 5, verse 19. It says, "Now, the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, jealousy, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, murders, drunkenness, and such like." What are these called? Did the Bible call them the works of Satan? No. The traditions of men call them that. The Bible calls adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, hatred, variance, emulation, strife, riots, seditions, heresies, drunkenness, and such the like. The Bible calls these things not the works of Satan, but the works of the flesh. I repeat, the Bible labels these atrocities as the works of the flesh and not the works of Satan. Satan's intents are on three things: to steal, to kill, and to destroy. While our fleshly nature's intent is to serve the law of sin, Romans 7:25, by executing the works of the flesh, either inwardly in the imaginations of its desperately wicked heart, or outwardly through your sinful flesh obeying its fleshly nature. So if God did banish Satan and every last one of his demons and influences from the earth, there would still be adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, and witchcraft. Yes, idolatry and witchcraft are not the works of Satan. Satan never tempted Israel to serve idols or to rebel against God. 1 Samuel 15:23 says that rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Satan never tempted Israel to go and to serve idols. They did this because of the fleshly nature that was in them. Idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, murders, drunkenness, wars, and revelings, and such the like, all of these are the works of the flesh, the fleshly nature, or the human nature of mankind. And they are operable without provocation from Satan. I repeat, the works of the flesh are operable without provocation from Satan. So if all satanical influences were banished from the earth, the works of the flesh from A to Z would still plague humanity, because our fleshly nature, whether it's yours or a sinner's or a minister's, all flesh still serves the law of sin, Romans 7:25. That's just the nature of the beast. And even though Satan is not omnipresent, in other words, he is not everywhere at one time harassing us, Paul said that whenever I would do good, evil is always present with me. For our fleshly nature is ever present with us. So, for our purposes, the enemy within, the old man, the flesh, your true colors before the new man, the Spirit of Christ, was born into your hearts by faith, our old man is omnipresent with us. For wherever we are, he is. Because the fleshly nature is inside of every human being which is alive, whether they're a saint or a sinner. And the old man, the flesh, can be nice, he can be religious, he can be of good behavior, he can be very philanthropic, but God sees him as cursed with sin. The Bible says there is no good thing in the flesh before the eyes of God, and his nature is not righteous nor divine, and Jesus Christ did not die on the cross to redeem our fleshly natures. Jesus died and rose again to redeem your soul out of the clutches of the flesh, that old man which is still dead in its trespasses and sins of the works of the flesh. Jesus died to redeem your soul from the dominion of the old man, the flesh, because the flesh is the servant of sin, because the flesh serves the law of sin. So Jesus Christ extracted our soul out of that fleshly nature and washed it clean from sin with his own blood, and has now joined our blood-washed, redeemed soul unto the new man, which is the Spirit of Christ within us, God's new creation, which happens to be God's authentic, divine nature of righteousness and true holiness. And it is written that he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit with him. Now you have two natures inside of you, which are at war the one against the other, because they're at cross purposes. Yet many pastors laugh this off, saying that we are advocating that Christians are schizophrenic. And that is not true, because schizophrenia is when the flesh has dual personalities. And we are not talking here about one nature, being the flesh. We are talking about two natures which inhabit the bodies of every born-again believer. The fleshly nature of the old man and the divine nature of the new man. Again, schizophrenia is when one nature, the flesh, has dual personalities or multiple personalities. And we don't teach that. We advocate that the believer still maintains his humanity, which is his humanness or fleshly nature, and that now, since the new birth, the birth of the one who is born of God and cannot commit sin, the divine nature is now in us, born of God, and that these are two separate identities, the one against the other, warring against another, so that we cannot do the things which we would. The believer has two natures, but he is no longer in the flesh, but now he is in this new man or the Spirit of Christ. Romans 8:9 says that you are no longer in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if, and only if, the Spirit of Christ dwells in you. The sinner only has one nature, and that nature is the flesh. The Christian has two natures. He has his fleshly human nature, and he has the nature of God, the divine righteous nature of God, which cannot commit sin because it was born of God, according to 1 John chapter 3, verse 9 and 10. So those who are teaching that I'm advocating some kind of Christian schizophrenia, they do not know what they're talking about, because they do not have the proper understanding of what God has done. God did not redeem our fleshly nature or the old man. God did not redeem our human nature. He did not transform our fleshly nature into something spiritual. Jesus Christ said, that which is born of the flesh remains flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit remains spirit, and shall always be like that. God did not recycle our old man and make him into some new man. Again, I repeat, God did not recycle our old man and make him into the new man. The new man was born from above. The old man is from our Adamic nature, and is from the earthy, and it shall not inherit the kingdom of God. All the old man can do is serve the law of sin. Therefore, it was of no use to God. So God crucified our old man on the cross with his beloved Son at Calvary. The Bible says in Romans 6:6, know this, that your old man has been crucified with him on the cross, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that we should henceforth no longer serve that old man in sin. But we are now made the servants of righteousness, because we are found in the new man, which happens to be the Spirit of Christ, and he is the servant of righteousness. Our old man was the servant of sin because he served the law of sin. Our new man, the Spirit of Christ in us, the second Adam, our divine nature, it serves the law of God continuously. It did not need redemption because it was always eternally perfect, and it was born into our hearts at the new birth experience. And contrary to popular belief, the fleshly nature that we have is not ruled by the Spirit of Christ in us. In other words, the old man is not submitting itself unto the new man. Neither indeed can it be, because of its mind. You must remember that these are two natures that inhabit the body of every Christian, and they are as opposite as heaven and hell and God and Satan. One, the old man has the carnal mind, which is at enmity against God, and the new man has the mind of Christ, or the very mind of God. And the one who will be the ultimate decision maker is your will. Either you will be listening to the whisperings of your human nature and go the way of reason and logic unto sin, or you'll be listening to the new man, the divine nature, who will be whispering unto you the word of God, and you'll go the way of faith and spiritual understanding unto righteousness. The choice is yours how you will live in this life. However, if you listen to your fleshly nature, your salvation is not at risk. You are saved because the new man has been born into your heart by faith, and he is now joined into your soul, which has been blood washed and redeemed. Your salvation is not at risk, but your quality of life upon the earth is. If you go the way of the flesh, you'll have a hard time in this world, but if you go the way of spirit, you'll have life and peace. And as a believer, always remember that you're in the Spirit. Romans 8:9 says that you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if the Spirit of Christ dwells in you. If any man does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And our old man, the flesh, has not the Spirit of Christ. But our new man, the new creation, the new wineskin, the Spirit of Christ dwells in him. Remember that the works of the flesh are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, murder, variance, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, and such the like. And when your flesh executes those things, the Bible says it is no longer you that doeth it, but it is the sin that dwells in your flesh. They're not the works of Satan. These are the works of the flesh. So don't be so sure when someone says that the devil made me do it, that the devil made them do it. It may have just been the works of the flesh. I'm James Warden, and this is Have You Heard the Good News?